Amen. The words are on the screen for our reading from Matthew chapter 6. And this is the passage that Melissa is going to share with us. If you want a Bible, just raise your hand. Someone will put it in front of you, but the words are on the screen as well. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Thank you, Melissa.
Amen. Thank you so much for reading that, and thank you for having me. I was just enjoying worship so much, and I was like, oh, I am preaching. And I'd completely forgotten, because I was just enjoying it. I was like, what am I even talking on? But I'm really just so excited to share today on the kingdom of God and how we live in it, and how he tells us not to be worried, and how we can always know that we are secure in him. So throughout the talk, I'll just be talking about that. But just to take you on the journey so that you know where we are going, we will first start off with recognizing our position in God, and then how we live through the worries and the stresses of this world, and how God tells us to respond to that. And as I was reading this passage here in Matthew, and God, well, Jesus is saying, "Are you not more valuable?" In the translation that David read, it was saying, "Are you not much more valuable? Much more valuable than the lilies on the ground, than the sparrows that are in the sky." And I just love that so much. Because over here, Jesus is making it so clear that he does find creation valuable. It is so clear that he finds significance in it. Because sometimes we just say those parts in passing, like, yeah, there are the lilies, he clothes them, there are the sparrows. But Jesus' construction of his sentence is so precise. He says, "Are you not much more valuable?" Because he could have said, yeah, compared to lilies and birds, you are valuable. But he's saying you are much more valuable, exceeding in value, greatly valuable, because my creation is valuable to me. And I love this so much, because God is showing us our position in him, that he wonderfully created the world. And during COVID, one of my favorite things to do, two of my favorite things to do during COVID, was to go hiking and then also to sunset watch. But I would always love hiking, because as I would just walk up the mountain and I would just like meander across the mountains, I would just look at the trees and I would think, this is so beautiful. I'd listen to the water, how it would trickle. And then when I'd get to the top of the mountain, I would just look at the beautiful creation of God. And I would think, you are so mindful. And even when I would go on hikes, when I would sunset watch, I'd look forward to the end of the day because I knew there was a sunset that God had prepared, which was so different from the sunset the day before. I would just think, my word, my God. During this day, this was nothing but a blank canvas of a blue sky. But all of a sudden, I see the wonderful colors that you have painted. I see the oranges, I see the purples, I see the pink, I see the purples. Hey, sunsets in South Africa are beautiful. And I was always just in awe that, God, you design each sunset so different from the one the day before. The detail you put in your creation, it blows my mind. And I'd look at this creation, whether I was hiking or watching a sunset, and I would think, if you put so much detail in something I see in just one moment, how much more detail have you placed in my life? That Jesus is showing us we are more valuable than this wonderful creation he has made. And sometimes I think that he probably laughs at how humans work. In the sense of, literally, scientists have devoted their whole lives to understand how creation works. There's always a breakthrough in science of how this works and how creation works and how the world was formed. And God says, that's not even the most valuable thing to me. My people are valuable to me, more valuable than all of creation. So I'll just read one of my favorite songs, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, and I'll read it, and as I read it, I'll just encourage you to have your eyes closed, and just to think about this, because I always think it speaks about creation and our position in all the creation. So it's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 to 31, and please just close your eyes. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in this inhabitant world. Amen. And when I read that proverb, I'm always reminded that God knew me before he created everything. God knew you before he created everything. And he said, you were his delight. He was saying, you are my treasure. And I say this, and I really want to emphasize this so much. But God is saying, look, I look after creation, and that is not even my first delight like you are. How much more will I clothe you? How much more will I provide for you? How much more will I be with you? You are not lost on God. He knows exactly what you need. In fact, sometimes I'll think, Lord, if you really had the time to make the sunset today, it would be quite interesting if you have not planned my future. I'm like, you have time for artwork? I'm your daughter. But God is showing us, or Jesus is showing us through this Sermon on the Mount, that if God has time to clothe lilies and feed birds, how much more has he thought out about you? But the beautiful thing that Jesus is also doing in this passage, he is pointing to the future. Because he is the most valuable person. He is the darling of heaven. And he is the one who dies on the cross for our sake. Just to think about that. The darling of heaven, the prince of heaven, comes to die for you. How valuable are you? So he says, don't store your treasures or worry about the things here of the world. I have given you the biggest and the best treasure ever, and that is my son, and that he now lives in you. But what's more, because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, he literally lives in you. So why would we stress when we have the solution in us? And even if that's not enough, we have the surety and the security that we will be with him in heaven one day. That all that we go through here in life, it is nothing but a moment. But our eternity in heaven with him, it's forever. So again, Jesus is saying, don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will drink. Don't worry about your clothes. There is a treasure in you. And because you are valuable, you are worthy to receive this treasure. And what's more, there is an eternity of what you are going through. So with all that, you're like, yeah, Melissa, I do believe. But the reality, we still live in this world right now. Reality, there's still a mortgage to be paid. Reality, there's still worries about tomorrow. So when Jesus says, do not worry, he's not saying dismiss what you are going through. He's not saying forget about what you're going through. And I love this so much because I will say it that I love planning things. And when I say I love planning things, it's just, I don't know, it excites me, something of a plan coming together. But Jesus is not saying that is bad, because when we read through scripture, we actually do read that he is the God of plans. He says, I know the plans for you. He says, at the right time, I brought you forth. And when we read through Proverbs often, he always reminds us that the wise man is the one who is diligent and prudent. So Jesus is not saying, forget all the plans, don't care about anything. But he's saying, we are not like the pagans. We are not like the Gentiles, where everything we do has to work out from our own benefit, from our own doing. You see, how we plan and how we go on about our days is so different from the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world, all the responsibility is on them to make it work. Because they have no hope, they have to make it work. But Jesus is saying, your hope is in me. Your hope is in me. That means we can plan what we do with God. And we will say, God, in which way are you calling me to go? And then once we've had that plan, we surrender it back to him. We say, it is yours, Lord. You do what you want to do with it. And I love that so much again, because that removes the pressure of us to make it want to work out. We say, okay, God, you've given me the plan, but you will make it work. So when he says, do not worry, he's not saying do not be concerned or do not have value to your life. He's saying, remember, I am the one who knows the beginning to the end. So you can trust me with it. But you see, the problem when we are worried and when we are anxious, it's two things, really. The first one, it is the lack of security that we are experiencing. We want to worry about tomorrow because we want to know of what's going to happen. More than wanting to know what's going to happen, we want to be in control. But when we think about it, if we are the ones who want to know and we are the ones who want to be in control, then maybe we are trying to be the gods in our lives. That desire of wanting to know how it will all end. God is saying, well, Jesus is saying, you are not the God. I am the one who knows. And I know there are things which are real, which we are going through and are personal. Again, Jesus is not saying dismiss them. He's saying instead of trying to work it out on your own, trust me, I am the one who knows the plan for this. But also when we just worry about things, and I remember growing up, I would often worry about things, and I think that time there wasn't languaging around anxiety or panic attacks. I just thought, yeah, my heart just beats really fast now and again. And just my normal heartbeat, it's normal. But when I am worried, it's just like, and I just feel like I cannot control it. And something that I've started doing when I feel that, I just put my hand on my heart as it is beating fast. But then I remind myself the words and the promises of God. I remind myself that you have given me a sound mind. I remind myself that you have said, I will see the goodness of God here in the land of the living. I remind myself the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places, that you have gone ahead of me by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. You tell me not to be afraid or dismayed, for you are with me. So in those moments, I'm not denying that I am anxious in that. I'm not denying that I am worried. But Jesus reminds me that there is a reality more true than what I am going through. Because the thing about our worries, the things about our diets, the thing that which make us want to be anxious, they are so different. They change from time to time. They change from season to season. But we serve a God who is faithful from generation to generation. We serve a God who is true and resolute, and he has never changed, and he remains unshakable, and he remains immovable. So again, it's not Jesus saying, don't worry. He says, remember the treasure you have in me. Remember the words that I have given you. Remember the scripture that I've given you, because that it is faithful, it does not change, it does not move, and if it was good then, it is surely good now for us too. So then what does this look like for our everyday lives? Well, he tells us to seek him. It's so simple. He says, seek me, seek the kingdom. Seek my righteousness. And I love this word seek, because there's looking at things and seeking for things. When you look for things, it's like, oh, there I found it. But when you are intentionally seeking, your whole attention is on the pursuit of finding that one thing. I found it so interesting that the kids today are off learning up the parable about the lost talents. And I was constantly thinking about that parable as I was preparing. That Jesus wants us to seek him in that way. That all of our attention, it is fixed on him and him alone. We are not just saying, yeah, I believe in you and I'm looking at you. But you say, you have all my attention. You have all my love. You have all my mind. You have all my strength. Everything of me. You have it. Because when we seek God, then we give him the permission to work in the other things in our lives. So how I imagined it as when I was thinking about this, it's these are the worries of what I am going through. And he says, don't fix your attention on that. Fix your attention on me. But can you see we have moved from one thing to another thing, meaning our fingers are not getting involved in that thing anymore. we have stepped back and given God the time to do whatever he wants to do, because now our attention is on him. Our attention is no longer in making things figure out on their own, well, for ourselves. But how often have we found it that when we have chosen to seek God, when we go back to the norm, the same worry that we have, our perspective has changed? Because the truth is, when we seek God, he gives us his peace. He gives us his wisdom. He gives us his understanding. And then secondly, when we seek the kingdom of God, it's also saying it's seeking the will of God. And the will of God is for everyone to know that they are loved by God. So when we seek his kingdom, yes, there is a part of us that we are just devoted and we fixed on loving him. But he says, look at your community. Look at your community and the people that I've placed around you. Seek remaining in fellowship, because how often when we are in fellowship with other people, God manages to bless us and make things work out. As David was sharing about Cap, I thought, that's perfect. Because, I mean, not that debt is perfect, but it is perfect because if you're going through debt on your own, it can stress you, it can consume you, it can worry you. But when you turn around and say, I will seek God and I will seek his community, then resources like Cap open up for you. And it was the same thing for me this week. I was so stressed about, and I was starting to feel anxious because my family, well, my mother and my friend are coming over to come and visit me. And I thought, where will they sleep? I don't even know where they're going to live. How will they get from place to place? And my natural default, when I am stressed out, I just sleep. Maybe, yeah, I'm probably not that good. I just want to sleep. I'm like, yeah, I'll see whatever happens. But when I was tempted to sleep, God was like, just go to Bible study today. I was like, okay. And I remember I just went to Bible study and I was not thinking much of it. And I said, oh yeah, and this thing is stressing me. And before I left Bible study, there were kind women who were like, they can stay with me, they can stay with me, they can stay with me. And God reminded me, well, this is seeking the kingdom. It is seeking to remain in a place of fellowship. But even what's more, there is the fellowship, but I really don't know how it works. But have you guys noticed that when you love other people, somehow God just gives you the capacity to be so peaceful and to love more? And I always think, how does this work? That when I seek you, not only do you fill me up with your love, but you also fill me up with the heart for your people. And that gives me so much peace about everything else. But this is how God and Jesus had planned it from the very beginning. So again, he's not saying dismiss what you are going through. He's just saying rearrange the order of priority. Because when Jesus, when God is at the top, his goodness trickles down to every single thing. And just a verse that I've been constantly pondering on throughout the week as I was preparing this, it's when David says, I have been young and I have been old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken. So when we seek his righteousness, which just simply means when we seek to be in right standing with him, this is the promise, he will not forsake you. He will not forsake you at all. But ultimately, this is what it looks like for us daily. Is saying, God, help me seek you in this situation. And a practical way that you do it. And I know I've probably shared this here because I have no shame in my game. If I'm feeling overwhelmed about something, I will quickly just Google Bible verses for stress. And then all the verses pop up. Or Bible verses for lacking right now. And all the Bible verses come out. And as I have browsed through the verses, then I'll open my Bible and I study them and I seek that truth. And then I'm always reminded there is a promise for what I am going through, so I do not have to worry right now. So that could be a practical way. And then another practical way is just remaining in community. Remaining in community even when it's hard, because Jesus shows us to seek his kingdom, he adds everything else on for us. But the ultimate truth and the best part of all of this is that we have the assurance of heaven. That all that we are going through, as hard and as difficult as it is nothing but a moment in an eternity that he has promised us. We can endure the fight, and that's because there is a promise for something more. But even before we get to that promise of heaven, he says the promise is in you. That's the treasure we should be seeking, because we have a hope. Amen. And I would just encourage you to stand as we respond in prayer. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. We cast all of our burdens, our worries, our anxieties on you, Lord. We surrender it all to you. We choose not to worry today. But us choosing not to worry, it is not us forsaking what we are going through. But we are saying we trust and believe in the one who can carry it better than us. We surrender it to you because you are more capable than us. We surrender it to you because we remember that you call us more valuable. Lord, we are more valuable to you. We trust and believe that you will carry us in this world and we don't have to stress. And as I was preparing this, I was just thinking about, well, two people were coming just on my heart. And the first person is someone who doesn't quite believe that they are valuable to God. That person who probably thinks, I have made too much of a mess. Or even if it's a mess, well, if it's not a mess, I've been distant for too long for you to find any significance in me. And the second person, which was just on my heart, was someone who has been carrying something on their own for way too long. I believe the Holy Spirit in this moment wants to give you the ability and strength to release your hand from clutching whatever it is you're holding and releasing it to him. And in this moment, he's increasing all of our faith to believe that we don't have to be worried and anxious about things that he can carry better. So we'll just say, come, Holy Spirit, and welcome him to minister. And Heavenly Father, we firstly say thank you for reminding us that we are much more valuable to you than we sometimes think we are. We say thank you, Lord, that you are more mindful of us than we are mindful of our own lives. We say thank you that you remind us today that there is a peace in your kingdom, free of worry and anxiety, because you carry us through everything. But we also say thank you for the words, the living scripture, Lord, that you have given us clear evidence that you have never failed and you won't start with us. So we surrender everything to you. It's too heavy for us. But we know you are able and capable to carry it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will lift up our eyes from the situations we are going through, and you will make us see the gift and the promise of eternity as the greatest treasure than anything we could ever look for in this world. There is a treasure greater than our worries today. So come, Holy Spirit, minister to us. Amen. And the band will play a song, but I would really encourage you, if you find yourself in a place of thinking, I'm not valuable to God, or you've forgotten, just to come and receive prayer ministry. The prayer team would just love to bless you. Would love to bless you. But also, if you find yourself in a place of you have been carrying something for too long and you want to just surrender that thing today, we'd welcome you to also come forward for prayer.